4:30 on Tuesday, March 31st, and you're listening to Heart Song on KDNK. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and on today's show, I'm joined by local Whitney Will, who recently graduated from Pacifica University with a master's in psychology. Congratulations, Whitney.
Thank you.
You also maintain Star Hearth Astrology, a website, an Instagram account, and you've recently published a column in the Sopra Sun. So could you tell us a little bit about your attraction to astrology and how it incorporates with your studies in psychology?
Yeah. So I kind of grew up around astrology, kind of being peripheral, and then I went to St. John's College in Santa Fe for my undergrad, and so that is a great books program, but one of the courses of study that you do for 4 years is the history of math, which is really, you know, just the history of how the study of mathematics developed, and a lot of that has to do with astronomy. So I studied, you know, really ancient astronomers, Ptolemy, went up through Newton and through Einstein, kind of there. So kind of learned a larger history of kind of the way that we have been looking at the stars, both from a cultural point of view and then also a mathematical point of view. And then I think also I graduated from Aspen High School, and there was a couple of astronomy courses there that I took. So I really kind of came from a basis of understanding astronomy first. And then as I started working in psychology, my undergrad degree, I guess, also involved a lot of classical literature and Greek mythology, because that's kind of where the beginning of the tradition of Western thought is. And so that translated really well to my degree at Pacifica Graduate Institute, which is a master's in counseling psychology, but has a focus on depth psychotherapy, which follows the traditions of Freud and Jung, talking about kind of the value and the significance of the of our unconscious mind. And so kind of it all ties in the mythology of our cultures, kind of building the archetypal structures of our minds, fits really well into the archetypal nature of astrology. So
for listeners who are unfamiliar with the word archetype, like, what do you mean by fits into our archetypal nature of psychology?
Yeah, so in a simple term, you know, an archetype is something that kind of a piece of human life that we all participate in. So usually the one that is given and kind of the one that's easiest to understand is the idea of a mother. So, right, so we all need mothers. Fortunately, most of us grow up with mothers. Even if you don't grow up with a mother, you still have a concept of what a mother is. And even if, you know, no mother's mother perfectly, but you can still have a sense of what mothering should be, even if that is not what you received. And so basically archetypal psychology kind of looks at the psychology of how you got what you needed or didn't get what you need in terms of a kind of a plethora of archetypes. So mother, father, orphan, hero, these kind of building blocks of the stories we tell about our lives, which ultimately, and for most of us, become who we think we are.
And so how have you found astrology useful in counseling as a psychologist?
So astrology can be really useful because it can kind of point to the main stories that we tell ourselves about who we are. And so, right, so astrology is filled with these archetypes. So there's the, you know, there's the archetype of Venus, which has to do with pleasure and beauty and attraction and romance and stuff. And so, right, so when I'm working with a client, you know, I'm looking at their natal chart, which is a circular chart, which is kind of a map of where all of the planets were when they were born, and those planets' relationship to each other. And so the planets, you know, depending on the individual, will have different levels of prominence. So, you know, there's a number of ways, you know, maybe Saturn is more important in a certain person's chart, or Venus is more important in another person's chart. And so we can kind of use that in as a doorway into the main stories of their lives and what's going on in their lives, and kind of what natural skills and tendencies they have at their disposal to navigate challenges or relationships or self-knowledge.
Do you find that people have an easier time talking about some of their personal stuff when it is through this lens that maybe looks a little more objectively at their life, that they're less responsible necessarily for the events of their life?
Yeah, I think that is kind of a tricky question. Especially like with that word responsibility, right? Because astrology is a tool and it can be used, right, to absolve yourself of responsibility, to just say, oh, well, look at my chart. This is the way that I am. But charts are dynamic and human beings are dynamic. And I think, you know, while it's important that we still take responsibility for our charts and for our lives and for our own behaviors. But that said, yes, because there are a lot of people that experience a lot of shame around kind of who they are and the way that they navigate things. And using a mathematically objective tool like astrology can kind of take that some of that shame away so that you can have access to your natural faculties. So you know like one easy example is you know, charts are it's pretty easy to see in a given chart if someone is an introvert or an extrovert. And so whatever shame they might feel about being too shy or not being comfortable in large groups, you know, explaining how astrology works and how that's just, you know, reflected in their chart, you can kind of leapfrog over that barrier. So now it's like, okay, so given that, you know, maybe you're never going to be comfortable public speaking, like, what can we do with that? Now we're at a new starting place. And, you know, your chart offers lots of clues of where to go from there.
So for people who have doubts because the stars have shifted since these ancient astrologers of Greece were reading the same skies, what is your response to that?
Well, I have two responses. I mean, the first is that astrologers have known about the precession of the equinoxes kind of since the beginning. And it is a mathematical model. There are astrologers that work in what's called sidereal astrology the sidereal zodiac versus the tropical, which has shifted. And I guess the second way that my second answer to the question is I try to refrain from making metaphysical claims. So in terms of like exactly how it works from like a physics standpoint, I think that those are really important questions, but I don't think we can come to a complete understanding of them. So while I hold them and I hold that kind of doubt about how it works, and I think all the questions about it are relevant, I guess I come from a place of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater because I've just seen how much an understanding of astrology can do for people in a practical sense in their lives.
We have possibly seen a resurgence of the popularity of astrology or its incorporation into general culture. So what do you think that is stemming from?
That's a good question. I think, yeah, I mean, I would confidently say we've definitely seen a resurgence of astrology. I mean, I think there's lots of young people into astrology. I mean, a lot of astrology conferences are now selling out every year. There's a lot of participation. Just in, I think, in the last 12 months, astrology on Twitter has kind of like exploded into a big community. So I think we're definitely there. As to why, I mean, I guess I don't have a good answer. I have kind of personal speculations. I think, for one thing, people are, they're looking for meaning and they're looking for their place in the world, and astrology does that. But I think that is really coupled with how much easier it is to study astrology now that we have the internet, and so it doesn't take half a day to cast a chart looking through an ephemeris. You kind of plug in your information to any number of free websites and they pop up, and then you can Google everything in your chart to kind of find those pieces. And so I think we're seeing a lot more astrology because there's a lot more opportunities for self-teaching, and then and then just how social media can spread astrology. There's a lot of great YouTube astrologers, there's a lot of great blogs, there's a lot of great people writing on their Instagram stories every day. So I think technology is a big piece of that.
You're tuned to Katie and Kate. I'm Raleigh Burley, and this is Heart Song. Today we're talking with Whitney Will, who is a psychologist and an astrologer. And so, Whitney, you are quite active in the worlds you just described. You have an Instagram page with a big following called Star Hearth Astrology. You've also written for the Sopra Sun here locally. Could you tell us a little bit about Mars joining Saturn in Aquarius today and some of the transits that we have to look forward to this summer?
Yeah, so yeah, it's a big topic, and kind of right now everything is kind of overtoned with coronavirus, and so there's a lot of astrology going on, a lot of talk in the astrology world about the astrology of coronavirus, so I'll kind of touch on that but not be entirely bound up by it. Yeah, Mars goes into Aquarius. Mars went into Aquarius on Monday, March 30th, and joining Saturn that just entered Aquarius about 10 days ago on March 21st. And, Mars is going to add a lot more kind of fire to that transit, but it's really kind of the Saturn ingress into Aquarius that's of big significance. Saturn kind of marks many epochs of time, and is just wrapping up about 3 years in Capricorn and now shifting into Aquarius. And I love these two signs. They're both ruled by Saturn in traditional astrology, and I think Aquarius is kind of, as I said in my article last week in Sopra Sun, the only sign that can respond to Capricorn. So Capricorn represents kind of the institution and the establishment, traditions. People like to pin it with the patriarchy, and Saturn in Capricorn gives gravitas to all of those things and kind of heightens the sense of the power of those things. And then also for those of us that feel disempowered, or maybe on the outside of those things, the oppression of those things. Now, Saturn also rules Aquarius, and in Aquarius, we kind of get. So I kind of like to picture the way that I picture the switch from Capricorn to Aquarius is that Capricorn is just this like giant stone building. So like say a cathedral in Europe, this big, just old symbol of traditional values and of worldly things. And then if you just kind of blur your eyes for a second and look for the mathematics and the architecture that allows it to stand, that is what I kind of see as the transition into Aquarius. So Capricorn is so much of what is, and Aquarius is the ideas behind what is. So it's kind of stripping the facade off something to understand what the ideological underpinnings of that thing are. And then Aquarius is going to ask, what should they be? And so while Capricorn comes from kind of inside the establishment, Aquarius has the archetype of the exile and the outsider that observes it and makes judgments about what is actually just. So to bring that all back to what's happening right now, I think so. Aquarius, the joke that people make about Aquarius is that they love humanity and they hate people. So they do have this humanitarian undercurrent of really caring about what is the best for the most amount of people, but they're not, they're not as cuddly as a Cancer in that respect. And so I think that shift we're seeing, we've kind of, I feel like especially in liberal communities, had this growing distrust of the establishment. And now that Saturn is moving into Aquarius, it's really ready to respond to that. So I think kind of if we zoom in, what we're seeing, the social distancing, it's very Aquarian. We're staying away from each other for the good of the many. And it's lonely, and I know some people are really dealing with significant isolation. And unfortunately, that is part of Aquarius too, but it's really for the good of all. So we're going to start responding to the power structures that be. But just because Saturn has shifted out of Aquarius doesn't mean we're kind of done with the power structures that be, because we still have Jupiter there for the whole year. We've had Pluto there since 2008. Yeah, so we've still got some big players in Capricorn. So I think Mars moving into Aquarius with Saturn, we're going to see more restlessness around social distancing. I hope that we don't see a lot of aggression, but I imagine that we'll see more kind of restrictions around movement, and that that can be quite quite frustrating for people in general.
So you mentioned the word restriction, and earlier we spoke about archetypes. Could you explain the archetype of Saturn for people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, so So Saturn, at a most basic level, represents the limitations of our kind of mortal existence. So the ways in which we are limited by our bodies, by time. Saturn represents time, by forces outside of ourselves. And part of that comes from before the outer planets were discovered, starting with Uranus in the late 1700s, Saturn was the outermost planet. And so part of its significations come from, it was kind of like the bounds of the knowable sphere of our solar system. And so kind of holds us in. Saturn also represents kind of like the archetype of the elder, and these kind of like grumpy, cantankerous, old ways of thinking. Saturn, especially in Capricorn, it's kind of really rules the laws of cause and effect. So we've seen, you know, with Saturn and Capricorn, a lot of, you know, the Me Too movement has really been within Saturn in Capricorn, and really kind of, you know, some people having a sense of people like Harvey Weinstein, who got away with something for a really long period of time, kind of getting what they deserve. And kind of, you know, having a lot of people having to kind of face the consequences. And that's what Saturn brings. And that ties in with the Saturn return, which happens to everyone around the ages of 28 to 30, which is really kind of coming to terms with, okay, you are not an immortal young person. Your time here is limited. And who do you really want to be? And what can you really do? And sometimes that is a really kind of harsh, harsh hitting the ground of reality. And sometimes it's gentler, but yeah, Saturn is really kind of what's real in a very basic way.
So we are reaching the end of our time. Is there something else that you'd like to touch on about the astrology of now or your website and how to reach you?
Yeah, I do, you know, I do personal readings. I also work with families. A lot of my professional psychology work has been working with kids. So I really love to work with moms on the astrology of their kids, to kind of improve family functioning. And you can find of information on that and how to book that stuff on my website. I think, for kind of the astrology of now, is that we, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. And, you know, as you and I were kind of saying, before, we're at the beginning of something. But also, you know, these cycles and these planets have been happening for longer than we were here. And nothing has brought all of humanity to an end. So I think, right, part of what we learn from Saturn is the patience to withstand cycles, the parts of the cycles that are maybe the death parts that don't feel so good, that are crumbling of old stuff. So I think just trying to be really patient with ourselves, you know, and trying to stay grounded when we feel the panic rising up about the uncertainty of this time, which that's totally there. It's totally grounded, totally founded. And but it's just breathing through those moments. So really, we're all in this together, and we'll get through it however we do.
We'll emerge somehow. Changed.
And, changed.
Thank you so much, Whitney, Will, for speaking to us here on KDNK. For people who are interested in learning more, the website is StarHearth, TH at the end of that, StarHearthAstrology.com, and on Instagram, StarHearth_astrology. Thank you, Whitney. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Raleigh.